Ryan decided that it was too dangerous to risk any sort of exploration. They found a high place where they could sleep, beneath a massive overhang of sandstone, lined with the frail silver lace of quartz. One end was blocked with a fall of rock, so that they could be approached up a steep and narrow path from only one direction. The track was covered with tiny pebbles that rattled at even the most careful footstep. It was as safe as they could get.
Want to take shifts watching?
No.
Sure?
Get some shut-eye and I'll sit up a while. If I feel any danger, I'll wake you later.
Thanks. Good night, Dad.
Good night, Dean.
Ryan lay down, but didn't sleep for some time, turning over in his mind all of the disparate clues they'd found at the ruined farm. The spent bullets and the use of gasoline. Christie's explicit warning about the water being contaminated. The total destruction of the buildings and the vanished livestock. The wags of the strangers being burned to ashes. Though he tried hard, Ryan couldn't construct a scenario that would accommodate all of these facts. It was a puzzle, missing too many pieces. Eventually, he dozed off into a deep and dreamless sleep. When they woke together at dawn, the smell was worse, the unmistakable stench of decay. It was all too easy to track down the pile of rotting corpses, making the enigma more bewildering. The river had dropped closer to its normal level, running steadily over the gleaming stones into dark, swirling pools. The bodies had been tumbled into an abandoned strip mine that resembled a circular pit about 50 feet deep. Apart from the ghastly smell, Ryan and Dean could have found the charnel house by tracing the column of flies. As Ryan picked his way to the brim of the open cavern, he had to brush them away from his face. They tried to settle on his neck and hands, great bloated insects with bodies of leprous gray-white, their prismatic eyes goggling from narrow heads. Dean pulled up his hood, brushing away the flies. He joined his father on the brink and peered down.
Ugh, shit a melon, that's the worst.
Ryan breathed slow and easy, keeping his mouth slightly open. A trick that the trader had taught him for places where the stench could be overwhelming.
What's that white stuff all over them?
Could be lime, quicklime, something like that. To try and decompose the corpses quicker.
So who put that on the bodies?
Maybe Christy and JB. How should I know that, Dean?
The boy opened his mouth as though he were going to ask yet another question, but then changed his mind and stared down with a horrified fascination. It was about as bad as anything Ryan had seen. There could have been as few as 15, or as many as 30. It was such a tangling of arms and legs that it was impossible to tell. Ryan could make out enough to be sure that Christy and the others weren't among them. It had to be the strangers, which meant that his friends could well be safe and alive. Somewhere. What was ghastly to see was the state of deterioration. From the fresh state of the damage at the ranch, the massacre had only taken place a day or so earlier, yet the bodies looked as if they'd been dead for a week. The layers of rotting, blackened flesh were actually moving with a seething life, rippling maggots and long pink worms. The soft tissues of the bodies had gone first, eyes, lips, earlobes, and the genitals. Bellies had swollen and burst from the trapped gas, releasing the wafting smell of bodily corruption.
There's kids, Dad.
The smaller corpses were somehow worse to see than the adults. As far as Ryan could make out, under the thick layer of dusty lime, most of the bodies had been wearing plain cotton shirts and pants. Many were barefoot, and several of the males had long beards.
What chilled them?
Ryan had been wondering that himself. There seemed hardly any evidence of blood. A couple of the corpses had black patches on their chests that might well have been from bullet wounds. Dean tugged at his father's sleeve.
Want me to go down and take a look?
The boy hissed through his teeth in disgust, as more of the flies tried to insinuate themselves between his parted lips. Ryan hesitated, aware that one of them should do it. It was important to know how these strangers had come to meet their deaths, but the thought of going into that hideous shambles made even him draw back a moment.
I'll do it.
I'll go.
Before Ryan could object further, Dean slid over the edge of the pit and climbed quickly down the steep side. The flies, angered at the disturbance to their feeding, rose around him in a humming spiral of beating wings.
Careful!
The boy reached a steeper part and slipped, managing to stay upright, landing on the top of the pile of bodies. A cloud of lime rose above him, making him invisible to his father. Gradually, the white dust settled.
I'm all right now, Dad.
Dean looked a small ghostly figure, stooping among the spilled entrails and crumbling slippery flesh, heaving at an arm, lifting a skull with strands of yellowing hair pasted to it. Ryan looked away, brushing more flies from his face. The patch over his missing left eye seemed to fascinate the insects, and several were making concerted efforts to get behind it.
Want me to check them all?
Despite the carnage, it looked as if it were going to be a beautiful morning. Ryan tore his gaze away from the sun-brushed mountains to the north.
No, not unless... What did you find?
Most shot.
Yeah?
Back of the head. Single bullet apiece.
The kids?
Three. I can see the same. Kids got exit wounds. Blown away most of their faces. Men and women most just got the entrance hole.
Come back up.
You sure?
Yeah, you done well, son. You want a hand?
No, I'm okay.
Dean scrambled up on hands and knees, kicking out when he found that his boots were smeared with maggots, and that one of the long snake-like worms was trying to crawl up his right leg.
Let's get away from here and wash up.
The traumatic effect of rummaging among the stinking bodies caught up with the boy shortly after he'd stripped off and had a dip in one of the dark green pools. He'd plunged in eagerly, whooping at the biting cold of the meltwater. He leapt up and waved his arms, dark hair plastered over his face, shaking himself. Ryan had also taken the chance to wash himself from top to toe, making sure that his weapons were dry and ready to hand on a sun-warmed boulder. He'd gotten out first, stretching luxuriantly by his blaster and ponga to dry himself. Dean had stayed in longer, constantly ducking himself and scrubbing at his skin with sparkling handfuls of icy water. As the boy was getting out, his skinny body shivering, he suddenly stopped, knee deep, his hands going to his face, his shoulders trembling.
You all right?
No, not really.
Sit here.
Ryan took him by the arm and helped him from the pool.
Be triple fine when... Not that I'm scared or nothing like.
Hell, I know that, Dean. I'm just pleased you went down and not me. I couldn't honestly face doing that.
Honest?
Honest. You did real good there. Finding out how they died's important.
Why? Thanks, Dad. Why do you think they got chilled that way?
Like an execution? Well, I'm beginning to get a sort of feeling. Like there was a fight. The strangers tried something on and failed. And Christy and the others must have found something out. Something real double bad. Had to do something about it. Pull it through the back of the head of each.
Ryan was feeling the cold, and he quickly got dressed, more comfortable with the weight of the blaster at his hip. Dean recovered, pulling on his own clothes, buckling on the big Browning. Before they moved on, the boy climbed higher up the sides of the gorge, reaching a jagged pinnacle of rock and balancing on it, shading his eyes as he scanned the horizon.
See anything? Dean, you hear me?
Come up here a minute. I thought...
Ryan picked his way up the cliff to join his son. The rock was broken and fragmented by frost and rain. His boot slipped in a patch of mica, and he banged his knee.
Fire blast.
You want a hand?
I'll make it. Don't need a wheelie yet. Now, what did you drag the old man up here for?
Over there.
The lad pointed back down the hillside, toward the open expanse of desert.
Lots of ridges and arroyos down there, I thought. No, I guess I was mistaken. Must have been the sun off a bit of broken glass or something like that.
Ryan stared out, but the sun was high enough to cause a shimmering haze across the gray landscape. He could see nothing moving.
Something shining?
Yeah, polished metal. Just as I got up here, and I thought it was something moving.
A wag?
Can't tell, Dad. It was only there for a minute. But it looked about as big as me, and the sun came off it. I don't know.
They stood together for several seconds, but the land seemed lifeless.
Back down?
Sure.
As they walked through the shady depths of the gorge, heading north, Ryan spotted the message, scratched on the barren rock with the point of a knife. R. Look Fork, Pinion K.
Is that from Christy? It's for you. What's it say?